Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hi and welcome to today's Daf Yomi Nida Daf Ayin Aleph. We're 8 lines from the top. Beshamay Oimrim says the Gemara. Mai Taimayu de Beshamay. What is the reason of the Shita of Beshamay? Now we had a machlekes in the Mishnah between Beshamay and Beshilal. Beshamay holds Kol Hanoshim Meisayis Nidos. Every Isha who dies is considered to be a Nida prior to her Misa. And anything that she may have come into contact with at that point needs to be toiveled. Beshilal say no. Ein Nida Elisha Meisa Nida. Unless you know for certain that she was actually a Nida, we don't apply the Tumas Nida to every Isha prior to her Misa. What is the basis, what is the reasoning behind the Machlokes? Says the Gemara, Mai Taimayu de Beshamay. What is the reason of Beshamay Shita? It seems like a tremendous chiddush to consider every Isha to be a Nida prior to her Misa. Says the Gemara, Inema, if you propose to say, Mishum Dechsiv, because it says in Megillas Esther, this was when Esther Amalka received the terrible news, the message from Mordechai regarding Haman's gzeira to annihilate the Yidden. It says in the pasuk "Vateschalchal Hamalka" that the queen became very afraid. Va'amarav, what's the point of this pasuk? Malamed is coming to teach us shepir sanida, that the fear generated a re'iyas dam. She became a nida. Hachanami, so too in our case of an isha who is dying, agav b'yisusa de malacha de moisa, because of the pacha, the fright that she is being exposed to the malacha moves, chazya, it will cause her to see dam. So the reason that Beishamah considers every isha prior to her misa as a nida, it is due to the fright of being exposed to the angel of death, to the malacha moves, which that precipitates re'iyas dam. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that you're assuming that pachat, fright, can actually bring about dam, this seems to contradict something we have learned in the Mishnah. For anan tanan, we've learned in the Mishnah, just the opposite. Shecharoda, terror, fear, misalekes es adam, it actually withholds, it removes dam nida. The Mishnah is referring to the halacha that an isha who has a vest kavua, she has a fixed time period to see her dam, we require to make a bedika examination on that day to ascertain that there is no dam. If she does not do her bedika, she is still tameh. Even though we did not find any dam, we assume that the dam must have come on its fixed time. Now, there's an exception to that halacha, and that is if an isha is hiding, she's in hiding, afraid to be attacked by a goyim, by a charkim, by a militia. At that point, she is dwelling in fear. And the fear, the terror, actually inhibits the re'iyas dam. In that case, even if she neglected to do a bedika, she is still considered to be tohar. And the reason is shecharoda misalekes es adamim. So here we see clearly that fear and terror has the opposite effect. Not only doesn't precipitate, not only doesn't it cause havas dam, it actually prevents and withholds damim from coming. So how can you propose that is the reason for Beishamai regarding every Isha as a Nida due to the fright from being exposed to Malach HaMavetz? Holy Kasha, says the Gemara, this won't be a Kasha. There's a difference. We can make a distinction between different types of fear. If it's a sudden fear, that will actually bring about Dam. If it's a gradual and ongoing fear, that actually has an opposite effect. Holy Kasha, Pachta, an ongoing fear, Tzombis, it actually has a contracting effect. It prevents the dam from exiting. Bia susa, on the other hand, a sudden fright. Mirafya, it loosens the womb and will actually be gerim, cause her to see dam. So that will be the difference between the two cases. In the Mishnah we're speaking about charoda, an ongoing fear. She's hiding out and she's dwelling in terror and fear because of the charkim, because of the goyim that are attacking. In that case, the ongoing constant fear actually acts as an inhibitor and prevents the dam from arriving. However, in the case of Esther HaMalka, being that it was a sudden fright, therefore, Vateschalchal HaMalka, she became a nida. So too, in our case, with a Isha prior to her death, there's a sudden exposure to a Malach HaMavis, which brings a tremendous fear and fright, and therefore we're concerned that she had actually seen dam and she's considered to be a nida. Says the Gemara, if that is the reason for Beis Shammai's halacha, how would it fit with the next Mishnah? Elohad desnan, we've learned in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai oimrim kol ha'anoshim meisim zovim. Just as Beis Shammai regards every isha to be a nida prior to her misa, similarly, Beis Shammai says that every anoshim, all men, are considered to be zovin prior to their misa. Beis Hillel oimrim in zov elo misha mei zov. No, only if he is certainly a zov, in that case, he is tamei. We don't just propose and assume that he is a zov. So, in the case of a man, we wouldn't be able to apply the reasoning that we apply to a woman. Why is that so? Because an isha is matamei when she sees dam, even if it's caused by an outside cause, by an oinus, even if it's not self-generated. However, regarding the ziva of an ish, there's a halacha which says mipsorei v'loy machmas oinus. You can't have ziva when the cause of the ziva was an external geir, was caused by something externally. Says the Gemara, Ikri Khan will apply over here the halacha of mipsorei v'loy machmas oinsoi. He will not become tummy since it wasn't mipsorei, it wasn't self-generated. It was machmas oinsoi, it was brought about by some outside factor. So you can't then propose that the reason, the tam, that Beis Shammai are metamei every ish prior to his misa, considers him a zav due to his exposure to the Malach HaMavis, that wouldn't be a reason to be metamei him. That would be considered machmas oinsoi. So it's inconsistent. You can't give a reason for the tumas anoshim if it doesn't apply to the tumas anoshim as well. So then you must propose a nupshat. Elo, it must be time with the Beis Shammai, the reason that Beis Shammai regards them as tmeim. Kedisane, like we learned in a brisa. Barishoina, at first, hayumat bilin, kelim al gabe nidois mesos. They would only be matbil, they would only be tevil, something that came into contact with a nida who died. Vahyu nidois chayis misbaishois. That caused the living nidois to be embarrassed. It caused them shame. They would say, well, look, even after death, we are treated differently than everybody else. So it brought them shame and embarrassment that the nidois were singled out, that the kelim that they have come into contact with kodem misasan prior to the death would be treated betuma and be needed to be toiveled. Therefore, hiskinu, the chachamim instituted a sakana all across the board. Sheyumat bilin al gabi kol anoshim. From now on, we're going to be toivel all kelim that were touched by every isha prior to her death, whether or not she was a nida. Mipnei kvoidan shal nidois chayos, for the sake of preserving the honor and the kavod of the living nidois. Similarly, regarding men, berishoina, at first hayumat bilin al gabi zovin mesim. Anything that came into contact with a zov prior to his misa required tefillah. For he was zovin chayim mizbaishin, the living zovin would be embarrassed, they would be shamed. Hiskinu, they instituted shayumat bilin al gabi kol ha'anoshim. They would be matvil all kelim that came into contact with any man prior to his misa. Why they do that? Vipnei kvoidon shal zovin chayim, in order to preserve the honor and the kavod, and not to shame the living zovin. So in conclusion, we have a chiddush from Beis Shammai that anything that came into contact with an ish or an isha prior to misa, they are considered to be tamei and need tefillah. What is the reason for this halacha? Initially, the Gemara said it's because the fright of the Malach HaMavis causes her to be a nida, koidem misasa. It is different than just an ongoing, constant fear, which actually is mesalik the damim, which contracts the womb and doesn't allow dam. A sudden fear, a sudden fright, loosens the womb and brings about dam. Similar to what we know by Esther, that she was suddenly frightened because of the bad news that she received from Mordechai, she became a nida. So that was the initial suggestion of the Gemara. The Gemara proved that may not be the reason for Beis Shammai's chiddush, because that wouldn't apply to men. On the account, in the case of a zav, he would not be tamei if the yeziva was caused through an external factor. In that case, the Gemara concluded there must be a takana for the sake of preserving the kavod of the living nidais and the living zavim, and to show that we don't discriminate between Zavim and ordinary people, La'achar Misasam. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'isha Shemesa. V'yatsa mimena Revi'is Dam. If an Isha died and outflowed a Revi'is, Halog, a Revi'is of Dam. Now we know that a Revi'is of Dam that comes from a mace is Matame B'maga, B'masa, and B'oil as well, provided that it has a shiur of a Revi'is. Says the Mishnah, that an Isha who was Mesa, and out came a Revi'is of Dam, Metama Mishum Kesem, the Dam is Tame, as if it would be Dam Nida, U'metama B'oil, meaning that in addition to be Metame B'oil, similar to an ordinary Dam Menames, if there's a Revi'is, the Dam is Metame B'maga, B'masa, and B'oil, the Tanakama holds, in addition to that, to be considered as ordinary Dam Mase, it is also considered as dam nida. It is metame mishum kesem. We consider this dam to be dam nida, and it is metame even b'mashu, b'maga or b'masa, even b'mashu. If one touches it or carries it, even a mashu, a drop of this dam, it has a status. It is classified as dam nida, in addition to its status as dam min hames, which is metame b'oil, provided there is a revius. So according to the Tanakama, this dam carries with it two separate classifications. It's classified as dam nida, and as metame b'mage or b'masa, even if it's only a teeny drop of mashu. This is in addition to be considered dam min hames, which is metame b'oil as well, provided that it has a revius. That is the shita of Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, eina metame shum kesem. You can't say that this dam, which flowed out la'achar misasa, is classified as dam nida. It cannot be metame mishum kesem. Mipnei shenekam mishum esa. It got dislodged only la'achar misa. It is simply dam haba min hames. It doesn't have the stringency of a kesem of dam min achai. The Gemara will explain the reasoning of the Tanakama. Continues the Mishnah. Umoyde Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will admit, in the following case, that the dam does contain with it both classifications. What is the case? B'yesheves al mashver. If she is giving birth, umeis, and she died, v'yatsa mimena revi'is dam, and then we found the revi'is of dam, she matama mishum kesem. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda will agree to Tanakama that this dam has a din of dam nida. This is in addition to dam meis. It has both classifications, as we see in the next line of the Mishnah. The Rabbi Yehuda responds to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, how could you say that this dam has a din of dam nida, and as well as a dam min hames? No, since it was dislodged, mechaim, it was dislodged when she was still alive, while she was giving birth. Lefich eino metame b'oil. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no tumas oil applied to this dam. This dam is merely considered as dam nida min achai, and only carries with it the halachas of dam nida, and not of dam min hames, and will not be metame b'oil. So we have two separate machlokes in the Mishnah. One is regarding an isha shemesa v'yatsa mimena revi'is dam. According to the Tanakama, this dam has both classifications. It is considered to be dam nida and is metame b'mashu. This is in addition to be considered dam min hames, which is metame b'revi'is. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says this dam was min hames. It came out la'achar misa. It is simply a dam in hames and is only matame b'revi'is. We have another machlokes in the case where Isha al hamashver, she was in labor, and yatsa mena revi'as dam. According to Rabbi Yosi, it is considered to be dam in hanida and is matame b'mashu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in addition to be matame, because of dam in hanida, it is also considered to be dam in hames and is matame b'oil. Let's move on to the Gemara. Mechlal de Tanakama Sovar, it would seem from the ratio of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama. He says, no. How could you consider this to be dam min achai? Dam that came out la'achar misa is strictly dam min hames. That implies that the Tanakama Shita is that indeed it is considered to be, in addition to the dam min hames, we also consider it, we give it the din of dam min achai. Mechlal de Tanakama Sovar, Afagav the nerkar dam mishum mesa, even though the dam was nerkar, was dislodged after misa, metama mishum kesem. How could you say that this is dam nida. There's no re'ias dam la'achamisa. Isha can't become a nida after death. Amar ze'iri, the reason for the tanakam is as follows. It's true. She has no re'iyah. She can't see dam. There's no re'iyah's dam. There's no dinei re'iyah's nida la'achamisa. So why then does the dam have a status of dam nida? Mekoyir mekoymoy tomei ike benayu. The reason for the machlokes between Tanakama and Rav Yehuda is Tanakama holds that makar, the womb, the uterus of the isha, mekoymoy, the place itself is tomei. Any dam that's found in that place is tomei. Regardless of whether the isha saw the dam, meaning that it flowed out when she was eligible to be a nida or not. It doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Any dam that's found in the makar has a status of dam nidus. So in our case as well, even though the dam was discovered only la'achar misa, in addition to be considered dam min ha-meis, dam which is emanating from a meis, in addition to that, it also has the halacha of dam nida. And the reason for that is because it was found, it was coming from the makar. And since it was in the makar, it has a din of dam nida and is metame b'mashu. Now this is a very interesting halacha, and Tosfos back on Daf Tezayin explains that this is not a simple halacha, this is not something which we can rationalize. It's halacha Moshe Mesinai, because interestingly enough, we find a Gemara which says that in some cases, in a case where the dam flowed out derech doifen, not via the ordinary route, there's a shita that holds that the dam itself is tamei since it originated in the makar, but in that case the isha herself won't be tamei. It won't be considered as a re'iyas dam nida. So it's quite perplexing. It's dam nida, but the isha remains to her. So Tosfos concludes it must be that this is a special designated halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, that the dam, since it was in the makar, it has a special status of dam nida, although the isha may not herself have become tor on account of this dam. So again, this is the reasoning for the machlekes of the Tanakama of Yehuda. Dam, which flowed out la'achar misa, which came from the makar, according to that Tanakama, in addition to being considered dam min ha-meis, which is metamei ba'oil if it has a revius. In addition to that, it also has a stringency of being considered dam nida, which is metamei b'maga b'masa, even if it's only a tiny little bit. Rav Yehuda evidently disagrees with this halacha, and he does not give it the status of dam nida, only strictly dam min ha-meis, which is metame b'revius. Continues the Gemara. In the seif of the Mishnah, we discussed the case which, where Isha was yisheves al ha-mashver, was in labor, and dam was yotze. What is the status, what is the halacha of this dam? Rav Yehuda maintains that the dam carries with it both halachas. It is dam min ha-chai, and as well as dam min ha-meis. According to Rabbi Yossi, no, since the dam was nekar mechaim, it was dislodged prior to Misa, the dam only has a din of dam min ha-chai and metame mishum nida, but not dam min ha-meis, and will not be metame with metame mishum oil. Continues the Gemara. Umoy de Rabbi Yehuda, mechlal the Tanakama savar. There's a gersu that says mechlal de Rabbi Yehuda savar, meaning from the words of Rabbi Yossi, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi counters Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, "Lefichach eino matame b'oil." In your case, it cannot carry with it; it cannot contain a tumas oil, since it was nekar mechayim. That would imply that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it also has tumas oil; it also has tumas meis. Mechlal de Rabbi Yehuda savar b'oil nami matame. This dam, although it was nekar mechayim, is considered to be dam min hameis. How could that be? Isn't that, you know, unexplainable? How could you explain such a thing? Amar Rav Yehuda dam tvusa ike b'nayu. We're not discussing tumas dam min hameis, the oiraisa de ketuma. We're not discussing the tuma min ha-toira. There's a new tuma of called dam tvusa, which is a tuma on a dam midrabonam. Even though the dam has not come out of a meis, we'll discuss it soon in the brayse, exactly what is the exact definition of dam tvusa. But it doesn't necessarily have to be dam or full revius that came from a meis. There is a tuma midarabonam, even if part of the dam came out mechayim, if part of the revius flowed from the chai. Therefore, that is the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rabbi Yehuda giving this dam, which began to flow out mechayim, why is he giving it a status of dam misa, his metame ba'oil? It is not midaraisa. It is not a tumah, an ordinary tumas dam min hameis min hatoira. It is a special tumah midrabanan called dam tivusa. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that. Rabbi Yossi says dam tivusa is only when we're uncertain, when there's a suffix of whether the dam flowed out mechaim or flowed out lachamisa. In this case of Yesheves al HaMashbev, we know, we see that the dam was nekar mechaim, it was dislodged mechaim. Certainly in this case, the halacha of dam tvusa will not be applied. Rav Yehuda on the other hand holds, perhaps some of the dam came la'achar misa, and therefore it is tamei because of the din of dam tvusa. So that is the basis of the machlekes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi and the seifa of the Mishnah. Let's go on to explain what exactly is dam tvusa. Again, Amar Rav Yehuda, dam tvusa iku benayu. The machlekes is regarding whether we should apply the halacha, the status, the classification of dam tvusa in this scenario. What is dam tvusa? The sound we have learned, eizo dam tvusa, pirish, Rav Elezer, Rav Yehuda. In the following example, harug, a person who was killed, shiyatzer menu dam. Dam came out, bein b'chayav, bein u'moysay. And the Gemara explains, safek b'chayav yatza. We're uncertain, perhaps the whole revius, the complete shiur, came out mechaim. In that case, it's tar. Safek b'moysay yatza. We have another possibility, perhaps it all came out la'achamisa and it's metame. We have another option, safek b'chayav u'moysay. Maybe part came out mechaim while still alive, and part came out after death. Zehu dam tevusa. This is what Chachamim meant when they said that dam tevusa is tamei, since it was partially mechaim, partially lachamisa, or perhaps completely mechaim, or perhaps completely lachamisa. We have many, many options and many possibilities. Therefore, the Chachamim applied a din tuma as if it was dam that came out from the mace. That is the shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim, that is not the case. In this case, the Chachamim did not give it a din of dam tevusa. Why is that? Since there is a suffix here, perhaps the whole shear came out la'achar misa. And in that case, it will be tamei min ha'Torah. We have a suffix, we have an uncertainty regarding a tumah midaraisa. There is a tzad, there is an option, there is a possibility that this dam is actually tamei min ha'Torah. V'rshus ha'yachat tzveik tamei. In this case, Rishus HaYachid, if this suffix, if this uncertainty took place in Rishus HaYachid, in a private domain, it would be Tamei Min HaTorah. Since there is a bona fide suffix here, we have a tzad that perhaps this revius dam completely came out La'achar Misa and it would be Tamei as an ordinary dam in Hameis. So in that case, we apply the halacha of suffix Tumah Rishus HaYachid, Sveika Tamei. It would be Tamei Min HaTorah. It wouldn't be necessary to be machadish, to enact a new law called dam tevusa. Rishus hayachat sveika tamei, rishus harabim sveika tar. If this would happen in a public domain, rishus harabim would be tar. So this can't be what the Chachamim meant when they described dam tevusa. It must be eizo dam tevusa. What is the exact definition of dam tevusa? For instance, ha rikshiyatz heimenu revias dam. Somebody who was killed and a revias dam came out. V'chayev v'moysoi. Partially came out b'chayev, and partially lachamisa, v'adayin le'pasak, and it hasn't yet ceased. Safek ruvoi b'chayev. We have a safek. We're uncertain. Perhaps most of the revias came out mechaim, umiyuta b'moysay, and only a small part after death. Safek miyuta b'chayev, v'rubim moysay. Perhaps the opposite. Perhaps most of it came out lachamisa, and only a small part mechaim. Zeo dam tevusa. This indeed is considered to be dam tevusa. Meaning, in this case, where we know for sure that part came out mechaim, part lachamisa, it certainly wasn't kuloi lachamisa. It for sure didn't have a tzad. There was no possibility that the complete revius came after death. It was partially mechaim, partially lachamisa. We're just unsure of the proportions. Perhaps roiv, majority, the most of it came out while you're still alive. Or perhaps roiv came out lachamisa. So in this case, there is no real suffix tuma min ha'Torah, since we don't even have a possibility that the complete shir revius is tuma min ha'Torah, because we have no possibility that the revius came out la'achamisa. in its entirety. It certainly was partially mechayim and partially achamisa. So in this case, we require a takana, gzeir d'rabbanon, to be metame this dam on account of the halacha of dam tevusa. So in summary, there is a machlokes in the braisa. What is considered dam tevusa? Is it dam which we are mesupak, we are uncertain of whether it completely came out mechayim or completely achamisa? That's the shita of Reb Lezer, Reb Yehuda. We're not sure when it came out. Kulei mechayim, kulei achamisa, or maybe partially mechayim, partially achamisa. The chachamim disagree, and they hold that dam tevusa is strictly in a case where we know that certainly, partially, it was mechayim, and partially achamisa. We're just unsure of the proportions. Having said that, the braisa will mention two more halachas, which are relating to the halacha of dam tevusa. One is Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, harak shiyatsa men arviyas dam. If a person was killed and Arviyas Dam came out, Vayumutu Umita, he was lying on a bed. V'damay metaftif leguma. And the dam was dripping into a pit. Drip, drip. V'pnei tamay. This dam is considered to be tamay. It is considered to be dam tevusa. Now this is a chiddush, meaning although the initial dam that's in the pit is tar, it's a dam that flowed mechayim, and it carries no tumah whatsoever. Then the dam from La'achamisa, which flows in, which drips in, there would be room to think that it becomes nullified, it becomes bottle in the Tara dam that's already there. Says Rabbi Yehuda, no, that is not so. It is still tame. Why? Because the blood that's dripping out La'achamisa is mixed in there, and therefore it is metame and is considered to be dam tefusa. Chachamim say no. In this case, that the dam la'achamisa is dripping into the dam tar, it's tar. Why? Bipnei sherishon rishon nifsak. Because the drops are discontinuous. Each one is a separate drop, and is not mitzarf, does not combine with the previous one. If so, every drop as it falls into the pit, which contains dam tahara, will become bottle in the dam tahara. Ask the Gemara, Shapir, ka'amri le rabban rab Yehuda. It seems to be a pretty strong argument that the dam tamei is bottle. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that it's tamei? Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, this is the famous sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar ein dam vatal dam. One dam cannot nullify, cannot be mevatel the other dam. Tosfos explains, Rabbi Yehuda is following his sheet of his opinion that min b'minoi le'batel. When you have two items that are the same kind, there is no halacha of bittel in that case. So too, when one dam drops into the other, there's no halacha of pitul. One more halacha in the braisa regarding dam tevusa, Reb Shimon Omer, tzaluv al eitz, a person who was hanged on a tree, shedamay shoyses laretz, his blood is flowing down to the earth, v'nimtza tachta v'rviyas dam, tummy. When you find the rviyas dam underneath, on the floor, it is tummy. Why? Because of dam tevusa, because that dam carries, partially contains some of the dam misa as well. Reb Yehuda Matar, Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, it's tar. Why? She'ani hoimer, I have room to suspect, tipa shomisa oimedes le'algava eitz. The dam that emerged la'achar misa is still up on the tree. It got stuck on the eitz, on the wood, and therefore never made it down. And therefore, since there is room to suspect that there is no dam misa in the pile of dam at the bottom, therefore, Chachamim did not apply the halacha of dam tevusa in this case. Ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda suspects that the dam shel achamisa remains up on top, what about the case of the mita? Rabbi Yehuda himself stated before that a harug that's on a mita and is dripping dam, the dam is tamei. Why don't we suspect that perhaps the dam that came after death is still up on the bed? If Rabbi Yehuda name a il l'nafshi, Rabbi Yehuda should say to himself, Sha'ani Yoimer, perhaps, Tipa Shal Misa, Imedes Le'al Gava Mita. The dam that came after Misa remained on the bed. What is the difference between the two cases? Answers the Gemara, Sha'ani Vamita. The case of the Mita is different than Machalchala. It's porous. It has holes, and therefore the dam flows through, and there's no reason to suspect that the dam remained on the Mita. So in conclusion, we had a Mishnah with two separate halachas. The first halacha in the Mishnah was regarding an Isha who was Mesa, and a Revi'ez Dam emerged, according to the Tanakama, in addition to being classified as Dam Min Hames, which is Metame Be'oyel Be'Revi'ez, if it has a Shir Revi'ez. In addition to that, it also has the classification of Dam Kesem, of Dam Nida, which is Metame B'Mashu B'Maga U'B'Masa. That is the Shita of Tanakama. The Gemara explained that the Tanakama holds Mekoyer Mekoyer Meitome, since it was originated in the Makar, that gives it a Tumas Dam Nida, and it has the halacha of ordinary Dam Nida in addition to Dam Min Hames. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds it is strictly Dam Min Hames. It is only Tame Tame if it has a Shir Revi'ez. Rabbi Yehuda evidently does not hold of the halacha of Mekoyer Mekoyer Tame. The second halacha mentioned in the Mishnah was a case of an Isha who was in labor, and there was a Revi'ez Dam that was Nekar, began coming out Mechaim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it is Tame on two accounts. It is considered to be Dam Kesem, it is considered to be Dam Min Nida, and is Metame B'Mashu. In addition to that, it also has the halacha of Dam Min Hames, and is Metame B'Oyel, if it has a Revi'ez. The Gemara explained, this is not a Din D'Oraisa. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda is Metame, as if it would be Dam Min Hames, that can't be a Midoraisa, since the Dam began coming out Mechaim. It must be a din derabbanon called dam tavusa, even in the case of a dam which began to flow out mechayim. The chachamim gave it a din of dam and hames and is metame be'oil. Rav Yosi disagrees. He holds in this case dam tavusa will not apply. Why is that? Because we see that the dam began to come out mechayim. It was nekar mechayim. It was dislodged while she was still alive, and therefore we have no reason to suspect that any dam came out, continue to flow out la'achar misa, and there is no halacha of dam tvusa in this case. Dam tvusa is only when we're mesufik, when there's a suffik, when there's uncertainty of whether the dam came out partially mechaim and partially la'achar misa. Now, what exactly is the definition of dam tvusa? We have two shitas. Reb Lezer or Yehuda holds it is a case of a suffik kulei mechaim kulei misa or mixas chaim mixas la'achar misa. The Chacham say no, that is not a case of dam tvusa, but rather only in a case where we know for sure that some came out Mechaim and some Lachamisa, we're simply unsure of how much was Mechaim and how much Lachamisa. The Braisa mentioned another two cases of a harag on a bed and a harag on a tree, a machlekes, in both halachas. Continues the Mishnah. Barishayna, at first, hayu oimrim, they used to say, hayusheves aldam tohir, hayusama'ara mayim lepesach. Now we know that a tvulyayim, a tummy who was toivel, and is awaiting nightfall, he's waiting for Har Shemesh to complete his Tahara, is considered to be a Sheni Lituma, but only regarding specific things. Meaning, if he touches Chulin, it's Tar. If he touches Meiser, it's Tar. However, regarding Truma Vekachim, a Tful Yoyim is considered to be a Sheni Lituma. Now, an Isha, a Yoledes, after Leda, come to Yimei Tuma, after which she is Toivel, and she awaits the completion of a Yimei Tahara. In the case of an Akeva, it would be 14 Yimei Tumah, she is Toivel, and then waits another 66 days until the Yimei Tahara complete. At that point, she is allowed to start touching Truma, Kachim, and come to the Beis Hamikdash. She is called a Tvulas Yoim Aruch. It is as if it is a very long day since the Tvila until the completion of Yimei Tahara. We treat it as a very long day. She has a din of a Tvul Yoim, says the Mishnah. Barishayna, at first, how you aimer days to say, hayusheves adam tohar, for the isha is in the middle of observing her yemei tahara, hayisa ma'ara mayim lepesach, she's allowed to pour water, she's allowed to hold on to a kli that it has, that contains water which was designated to be used to wash the karban pesach. Since she is only a sheni latuma, she cannot be metame the kli, but she has to be careful not to come into direct contact with the actual water. Why? Because this water was designated for a Karban Pesach. It was prepared in accordance with the standards of Kachim, and therefore it would have a din of Kachim. And being that she's a Tvul Yoyim, and a Tvul Yoyim can be Metamek Kachim, she's considered to be a Sheni regarding Kachim, therefore she can't touch the actual water. Chazru Loimar, they went ahead and they changed and they said, She's considered to be not only a Sheni Letumah, but even a step higher, she's a Magat Memes. she is as if somebody who touched a mace. A mace is considered to be the highest level of avia avoisatuma. Somebody who touches a mace is an avatuma, and somebody who touches the avatuma is a rishon latuma. She is a rishon latuma. Not only is she a sheni, she's actually a step higher, a rishon latuma, le kachim, with regard to actual kachim, and not with regard to chulin, something which is a non-kachim, even if it was prepared to be designated to be used for kachim on a higher standard of kachim. No, in that case, it would not become affected by a tvul yoim. So in essence, they changed two things. Firstly, they said that she is more stringent. She's not just a sheni. A tvul as yoim oruch an isha who is being yeshevas adam toyer is not merely a sheni like an ordinary tvul yoim. She is more stringent. She is a rishon. On the second account, they were actually being makel. They proclaimed their leniency. No, she cannot be metame only if it is strictly truma v'kachim, but not something which was designated, which was prepared for kachim. And in our case, she can actually come into contact, into direct contact with the water itself, since the water is not kachim. This is Kedivrei Beis Hillel, who maintain that she is a rishon l'tumah. She's actually a step higher. She is an avatuma. So in conclusion, what is the status of an isha who is a tvulas yom orach, meaning between when she is toivel after the yimetuma until the completion of her yimetahara? What is her status? According to the Bereshoina, the initial learning, she was a sheni. Chazru loimar, they changed and considered to be a rishon. According to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai says she is a av hatuma. The Gemara is making a diuk. The Reisha said that she can pour by holding the kli. Incidentally, Tosafot says, what's the point? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Why doesn't the Mishnah just state straight out that she should be careful not to touch the water? Why does the Mishnah have to say it in a roundabout way? She can pour it via a kli. So Tosafot says that the Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush. Don't be concerned that she will actually touch the water. She may handle the kli, and we're not concerned that she will mistakenly come into direct contact with the mayim. So getting back to the Gemara, says the Gemara, ma'ara in negas loy. She can only pour by holding the utensil, but she can't actually come into contact with the water. Why is that? Because she's a tful yayim. And a tful yayim is metame kachim. But this is not kachim. This is merely chulin water, which was designated, which was prepared for kachim. We see from here that even a chulin which was prepared on a high standard, on a standard of kachim, will carry the halacha of kachim regarding becoming tamei of it by its full yom. Alma, we see from here, chulin shenas or altaras hakodesh, chulin which was prepared altaras hakodesh with a kodesh standard, ki kodesh damu has the same din as kodesh with regard to a tvul yom and will become tamei. So that's what it seems from the reisha of the Mishnah. Now let's drop down to the seifa. Ema seifa, chazru leimar, harihi kedmagat meis lekachim. She's only considered to be tamei regarding actual kachim, lekachim in lechulin loy, but not regarding chulin. Alma, we see from here chulin shenas or altaras hakodesh lav kekodesh dami. We see from here only actual kachim will become affected by tful yom, but not chulin which was not altaras hakodesh. So the Mishnah seems to contradict each other. Says the Gemara, very simple. There are two separate shittas. The reish of the Mishnah, which says that chulin shenas or altaras hakodesh does have the properties of Kodesh, does get tamei by a tvul yayim. That is following the Shitas Rabbanon, who hold that Chulin Shanas or Ataras HaKodesh ki Kodesh Damu. The Seifa, however, is following the Shita of Abba Shol, who holds Lav ki Kodesh Damu. So the Gemara, Masnis and Mani, the Seifa of the Mishnah, is following the Shita of Abba Shol, he, the Sanya Abba Shol Oimer, Tvul Yayim Tchila LaKodesh. Tvul Yayim is considered actually to be a Rishon regarding Kachim, Latame Shnayim Vilif Selechad. If he touches Kachim, the Kachim becomes a Sheni, and then if that Kachim touches another Kachim, that Kachim becomes Tamei, and if that Kachim touches another Kachim, it becomes Pasel. Meaning his Tumah carries on up until three more levels. But in any case, Abishol uses the word Tful Yom Tchila LeKodesh. He's only considered to be Tamei regarding Kachim, actual Kachim, and not Chulin Shanasu Altares HaKodesh. Continues the Mishnah. Umaydim, everybody agrees, Shehi Eicheles B'maiser. Whether it's Beis Shammai, whether it's Beis Hillel, everybody agrees that this Isha who's a Tful Yom may eat Meiser. Because regarding Meiser, she is not considered to be Tameh. The Koitza Lachala. If she needs to separate challah from her dough, she may do so. Umakefes v'koyer l'shem. She takes the piece of dough, which is currently not yet challah, it is simply a chulin dough, she separates it, puts it into a separate kli, umakefes, and then she brings it over to the rest of the dough, we'll see in the Gemara why, v'koyer l'shem, and then she calls it a name challah, she designates it, and gives it the status of challah. And then she's careful not to come into contact with this piece of dough. So before she calls it challah, she may touch it, because it's merely chulin. As long as she takes care that afterwards, she doesn't touch it. The mission continues. If her tvulyayim, the roik, the spit of a tvulyayim would fall, umedam tahara, and the dam tahara of the tvulyayim falls, al kikosh of truma, on a loaf or bed of truma, shu'tar, it does not become pasul or tamei. Continues the Mishnah. What happens to a Tvulas Yom Aruch? After she completes her Yimei Tahara, after 80 days are over, the Pasuk says she may come into contact with Truma, she may come into Beis HaMikdash, etc. Is she required to be Tevil again? Yes. She needs to be Tevil again. Which is a big Chiddush, although an ordinary Tvul Yom, he's Tevil, he waits for nightfall, and he's completely Tor, he doesn't require another Tvilah. This is different. Since such a long time, many, many days have elapsed since her tefillah and the completion of Yimei Tahara, Beshamay hold that she was perhaps she was Mesiach Das. She diverted her attention and didn't pay enough attention to maintain her Tahara. Perhaps she came into contact unknowingly with Edavar Tamei. Since she wasn't allowed to touch Truma and come into the Migdash, perhaps she wasn't so careful with coming into contact with Tumah. Therefore, Beshamay require an additional tefillah at the end of the Yimei Tahara to enable her to eat truma and come into the Beis HaMikdash. Beshil Oimrim, that is not so. Eina tzricha tefillah b'achrona. She does not need another tefillah. So in summary, the Mishnah said that a tefil yoyim may come into contact with chulin, with meiser, and the Mishnah explained how an isha who's a tefillah yoyim will separate her challah. The Mishnah added that any mashka, like roik, dam tahara emanating from a tvul yoyim, does not have the power to be matame. And the conclusion of the Mishnah, machlokes b'sham b'tzil, whether this isha is required to be tevil once again at the completion of a yimei tahara. Continues the Gemara. How come a tvul yoyim can eat meiser? The Amar Mar, we've learned, tova v'ola, after tvila oichel meiser, he may eat meiser, although he's a tvul yoyim. Continues the Gemara, v'koyta l'chala, she will separate a piece of this dough in order to make from it chala. Why is that? Chulin, a tvul n'chala. Chulin, something which is not Kodesh and is Tevel because it contains in it a potential challah, meaning the dough that you need to separate challah from it, at this point, prior to designating the challah, it has a din of a simple chulin, of an ordinary chulin, and therefore will not become Tameh through a tvul yayim. Chulin ha-tvulin l'challah, lafka challah domu, does not have the status of challah, it is merely considered to be ordinary chulin, and she may contact it. Uma kefes, after she places the dough in the kli, she brings it over to the rest of the dough in order to make it into challah. Why is that? The Amar Mar, we've learned, mitzvah, litroi minak mukaf. It is a mitzvah to be mafresh truma, to mafresh challah, within close proximity. We learn from a pasuk of mimenu. It is a mitzvah to take it from close by. V'kari l'Hashem, afterwards she designates it. Sal kadai techamina, what is the chiddush? I would think, nigzer, there is room to be concerned, and begoizu dilma osir lemingaba, perhaps she will come into contact inadvertently with a challah, even though she's holding the kli from the outside, me'avrayi, I would think that perhaps she will by mistake put her finger in and touch the challah that's inside. Kamash malan, the Mishnah teaches us that there is no room, that it is not a valid chashash. Continues the Gemara, v'imnafal meroika, if roik or dam tahara emanates from a tful yayim, it is not matami, this nan, we've learned, mashka tful yayim, mashke which comes out from a tful yayim is not tomei. It is simply kemashkin hanoygei abahen. It is as though he touched a mashke. Ve'elu ve'elu ena matamin. The Chazal did not impose a tumah on the mashke in these cases. Chutzim mashke azav shav a tumah. Actually, the Hagoyes Hagroa deletes this line. Continues the Gemara be'shamei oimrim that she requires another tefillah. Ma'i b'nai. What is the basis? What is the grounds for this machlekes between Mishamei who require another tefillah after the completion of Yimei Tahara and Meshil who do not? Amrav Katina, Tvul Yoyim Aruch Ika Binayu. since it is a long Tfilyayim, it is a very long day, so to speak, between her Tfilah and the completion of Yimei Tahara, we suspect, we are Cheshish perhaps, that inadvertently she wasn't careful and she became Tamei, and therefore we require an additional Tfilah in order for her to enable her to enter the Beis HaMikdash or eat a Truma. So in summary, a Tfilyayim has a din of a Sheni L'Tumah only regarding Truma and Kachim, not regarding Chulin and Meiser. He's considered to be toy regarding Chulin and Meiser. However, a Chulin, which was Nasu al Taras HaKodesh, there is a Machlekes Tanaim, whether we consider it to be merely Chulin and does not become Tamei by coming into contact with a Tfilyayim, or it has the din of a Kodesh and will become Tamei through a Tfilyayim. What about an Isha who is Yesheves al Dam Tahara, and she is a Tfilas Yoyim Aruch? According to the initial Mishnah, Bereshayna, she is a Sheni L'Tumah. According to the Chazr Loimar, she is a Rishon L'Tumah, according to the Deya of Beis Hillel. Beshami holds, she's actually an Av HaTumah. Now, does she need a Tvila at the end of a Yimei Tahara? Beshami require, and Beis Hillel say, the Tvila that she did after Yimei Tumah is sufficient, and she is not required to undergo another Tvila.